Okay, it's now 7:30 Michigan time. Okay, and we are in Barnabas. Barnabas chapter 14. Okay, verses 16 is where we're going to begin. Okay, and that's on page 164 of the Lost Books of the Bible and the Forgotten Books of Eden. Okay, in page 164, and of course the Apostle Barnabas is bringing to our attention even that which is Ignatius is going to bring to our attention. We may get to the Epistle of Ignatius to the Ephesians this evening. Okay, as concerning the importance of government, and also the adorning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, starting in verse 15, you should not be bitter in the commands towards any of the servants that trust in God. Okay, lest you chance not to fear him, that is to fear God, who is over both. Because he came not to call any with respect to persons, but whosoever the Spirit has prepared. Of course, these are the children of God. Okay, now in verse 16, you should communicate to your neighbor. That means this concerning in simplicity. Okay, of all you have, you shall not call anything your own. Of course, this is what Barnabas is bringing out here. It's concerning the state of the Christians of this time. Okay, not to emphasize material things. Okay, seeing that they can be removed from you. You see, at the whim of any master. Okay, for if you partake in such things as are corruptible, how much more should you do it? See, and these that are incorruptible, how much more should you do those things that are corruptible? Okay, verse 17 and 17 now. You should not be forward to speak. Okay, that is the same thing the Apostle Paul said, slow to speak and slow to wrath. Okay, for the mouth is the snare of death. Okay, most seem there's bitterness. Okay, strive for your soul with all your might. And just continue to, as we says here, and striving for the soul, which means seek for those things which will bring completion to your faith, okay? And not to completion as concerning the things of pleasure. So strive for your soul with all your might, using, of course, the tools of the covenant. Reach not out your hand to receive, and withhold it not, see, when you should give, but be temperate in all things, both in mind and body. Okay, you shall love, as the apple of your eye, everyone that speaks unto you the word of the Lord, which of course is with his charity. Okay, because the whole the family of God are all those which are born of the Spirit. See, call to remembrance day and night the future judgment. Okay, because of course God can apply judgments on you, and see, as also you do to others. This is of course what Jesus even said, judge not lest you be judged. So what policy you set according to your principle, God also can initiate on you. Alright, verse 19. You shall seek out every day the persons of the righteous as concerning fellowship, which benefits both. And both consider and go about to exhort others as concerning giving truth by the word. Okay, which is revelation of his will and that knowledge which you receive, and meditate how you may save a soul, as it is concerning to reflect upon these things. So here Barnabas is bringing out, remember, Barnabas is an apostle as Paul was. Feast at one table till you may be filled all day in the faith. And that's what we do here. Okay, feast at one table so that we can be filled all day. You shall also labor with your hands to give to the poor, that your sins may be forgiven you. You shall not deliberate whether you should give, nor having given, murmur at it. Okay, give to everyone that asks, so shall you know who is the good rewarder of your gifts. So Barnabas is saying here again, see how God has increased your signature, so by such increase others. God is in this knowledge to give you peace. Okay, verse 22. Keep what you have received, it's concerning this knowledge, let it taking root, You know, you should either add to it or take from it. Okay, you ask concerning diminishing this holy knowledge by false doctrine. Let the wicked be always your aversion. It means ask concerning to observe, to compare, so that what God judges them with, you may also learn and not follow their steps, okay, into the same snare. Okay, so let the wicked be always your aversion. Okay, verse 23, you shall judge righteous judgment. Okay, and these are things which you have to learn as you continue to grow in grace of God, is being able to assess those things and continue to use your faith. You shall never cause divisions, but shall make peace between those that are at variance, as concerning that change in purpose of truth. Okay. Also doing that, changing truth, also creating a fault, and being at variance. All right, and bring them together, which of course this is what truth does. You shall confess your sins, of course, confessing them to God. Okay, and not come to your prayer with an evil conscience, but of course to ask to seek good. Okay, this is the way of light. Okay, this is the way. This is the way by which the Spirit leads us. Into that which is a path of faith. This is the way of light. Okay, in the last chapter of Barnabas, chapter 15. But the way of darkness is crooked. Okay, the ignorance and false knowledge of that way, okay, is ambiguous and causes you to stumble. And is also full of cursing, because God's wrath rests upon that which is corruptible. Okay, for it is the way of eternal death with punishment, okay, in which they that walk meet those things that destroy their own souls. Okay, using Satan's tools, it's also confirming your own destiny, okay, which is corruption and death. Okay, and of course, these are the tools right here. Such are, verse 2, idolatry, confidence, which is false confidence, confidence in one's own aspirations, the pride of power, against which has to do with, position to rule, and hypocrisy, double-mindedness, meaning to the right hand or to left hand, adultery, murder, rapine. Of course, rapine has to do with that which is snatched, to steal, to take, to seize. Okay, pride, transgression, deceit, malice, okay, arrogance, witchcraft, covetousness, and the want of the fear of God. Okay, these are the results of the wrong tools. Okay. So here, Apostle Barnabas is listing them, just like the Apostle Paul lists them. Okay, if you use Satan's tools, if you work and savor that knowledge, then you're going to bring forth these particular manifestations. Okay, these spirits will manifest themselves, okay, and nurture this kind of character within you, which you don't want. In verse 3, in this walk, those who are the persecutors, that means those which are the correctors of pride, okay, the correctors of pride, not being corrected by pride, but those which want to insist on the principle, okay, the persecutors of them that are good, haters of truth, okay, of course, Barnabas saw the same thing as the Apostle Paul saw in Timothy, okay, not Timothy's life, but with the letter he wrote to Timothy. They being those which are haters of truth, because truth it brings restriction both to the imagination, to one's principle, and demands faith. This is part of the testing which God gives for those that love Him. Okay, and those who want to live independently of the light are haters of truth, and also bring forth these other things which are idolatry. Idolatry takes the manifestation of one's own principle. Okay, and lovers of lies, which has to do with also, which of course lies is their principle, who know not the reward of righteousness, okay, nor cleave to anything that is good, that which works life, okay, the tools of the Spirit which work life, who administer not righteous judgment, that means they interpret the error in God's righteous judgments. When God brings judgment, they interpret it in different light, okay, other than in which God issued it. So who administer not righteous judgment to the widow and orphan, who watch for wickedness and not for the fear of the Lord, okay, because their eyes search for words for reproach. They want to reproach the good, and they want those of their own kind to bless their aspirations. From whom gentleness and patience are far off. Okay, these are not the attributes of those which work with the principle. Who love vanity and follow after rewards. Okay, they're always looking for the deal. Okay, having no compassion upon the poor, nor take any pains for such as are heavy laden and oppressed. Okay, verse 5, ready to evil speaking, which means their faithless things alert their attention. Okay, but truth is a bore. Okay, so ready to evil speaking. Okay, not knowing him that made them. Murderers of children, corruptors of the creatures of God, that turn away from the needy, okay, oppress the afflicted, are the advocates of the rich, which means that they reach for the wealth and honor of what they can find. Okay, but unjust judges of the poor, being altogether sinners. Okay, of course, remember a sinner means, which means a grace resister. Okay, these are those who resist the grace, okay, but don't lose heart in praying for them, because by praying for them, there is a weight of prayers. Okay, there is a weight of prayers which will convict them. Okay, verse 7. It is therefore fitting that learning the just commands of the Lord, which we have before mentioned, we should walk in them, as Barnabas brought out. For he who does such things should be glorified in the kingdom of God. Okay, because we'll be putting on the cloak of his light, okay, and not trying to conceal our guilt, but rather putting on the cloak of his light. Okay, which Adam, after when he transgressed against God, tried to conceal his guilt, okay, clothing himself in fig leaves. Okay, but we're not clothing ourselves those things which are of carnal nature. We're clothing ourselves with those things which bring life. Okay. In verse 8, but he that chooses the other part, which is darkness, shall be destroyed together with his works. Everything that they sowed shall be removed, and nothing shall profit them, as a rich man. Okay, and Lazarus, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Okay. For this cause, there shall be both a resurrection and a retribution, which means the time of payback. Verse 9, I beseech those that are in a high estate, which means those that are wealthy among you, if so be you would take the counsel which, with good intention, I offer to you. See, you have those with you towards whom you may do good. Okay, those which are wealthy, they are able to reward their servants. Okay, that they don't keep their servants in a state of poverty, or that they don't keep them impoverished. Okay, but to rather to assist them. Okay, as you said of the poor. In verse 10, for the day is at hand in which all things shall be destroyed together with the wicked one. Okay, the Lord is near and his reward is with him, both now and of course in the future. Okay, verse 11, I beseech you therefore again and again, be as good lawgivers to one another. Okay, of course, because lawgivers, of course, we're watching in truth. Okay, and watching over each other in truth and charity, we're also refraining each other from the impact of iniquity. Okay, continue faithful counselors to each other. Remove from among you all hypocrisy. Of course, hypocrisy can be removed by faith and pure sacrifices which accompany that work of regeneration. Okay, verse 12. And may God, the Lord of all the world, give you wisdom, knowledge, and counsel. Okay, understanding, there's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding there, of his judgments, and in patience. Okay, which is a sign of the mark of your salvation. Okay, this is a sign of your mark of your salvation, as you continue to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That you'll be able to identify and discern spiritual things with spiritual, as Paul brings out. Okay, you're able to identify the judgments of the Lord. Okay, and continue to exercise your faith accordingly. In verse 13 here, be you taught of God. That means let this grace influence you, seeing what it is the Lord requires of you in doing it, that you may be saved in the day of judgment. It's interesting that what the Apostle Barnabas is bringing out, that you may be saved. Now, if Jesus was our substitute, that would be a done factor. Okay, but he is a propitiation, which shows that there is a conclusion that's based upon your present obedience. Okay, that you receive a blessing and not a curse. So as you continue in righteousness, you will be saved. It's the same thing which you can find in the writings of Ezekiel. Okay, that if the wicked turns from his wickedness, then the Lord will not remember his wickedness. Okay, but if a righteous man turns from his righteousness, see, then the Lord will not remember his righteousness. Okay. Verse 14. If there be among you any remembrance of what is good, think of me. Okay. It's concerning your prayers and sacrifices. Meditating upon these things of how to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we don't cause offense, okay, nor bring reproach against his name, that both my desire and my watching for you may turn to a good account, which means good judgments will continue to be sent forth from you from the seventh heaven, that you're not laboring in vain. In verse 15, I beseech you, I ask it as a favor of you, whilst you are in this beautiful tabernacle of the body, see, be wanting in none of these things as a contact point. Okay, though in a present condition that you be not wanting, okay, but using all the tools of the covenant. Okay, prayer, preaching, prophecy, government, truth, spirit. Okay, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, all these things are given for the benefit of the saints. Okay, what God gives to one individual benefits all. Okay, fulfill every command, the love of our neighbors or self. Okay, for these things are fitting and worthy to be done. So you by these things you are adorning Christ with good things. Okay, as a priestly vestment. Okay, verse 16. Well, we can see that the priestly vestment, okay, in the Old Testament there, like in Numbers, okay, and also in Leviticus, you can see the priestly vestment in there, okay, was for the purpose of glory and beauty. Okay, it's adorning, okay, had purpose to it. It wasn't just adorning itself. It wasn't a fashion show. Okay, it was for purpose. Okay, and we also, by the tools which we use, also adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're putting on Christ. Okay, through this priesthood. Okay, we're putting on the beauty of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, he's giving us beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay, this is what the trees of righteousness, okay, have put on. Verse 16, wherefore, I have given the more diligence to write unto you, according to my ability, that you might rejoice in all these things which the Apostle Barnabas unfolded, okay, in the types and shadows of the Old Testament, okay, showing us Christ in these things, so that we also can see Christ working in us. Okay, and then he says, farewell, children of love and peace. And he goes on, verse 17, the Lord of glory. Okay, which means the God that produces that fruit within you, and the God of light, okay, and of all grace, be with your spirit. Amen. Okay, as the Lord will confirm these things, I have written to strengthen you in all things concerning your faith, and he will carry these things through unto the end. Okay, turn the page, and now we come to, also on page 166, we come to the Epistle of Ignatius to the Ephesians. So we conclude with Barnabas here, the end of the Epistle of Barnabas, the Apostle, and fellow traveler of St. Paul the Apostle. And now we come to Ignatius, who's also an Apostle. Ignatius is addressing the Ephesians, okay, which we also see were addressed by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 1. Okay. We can see that by this time that Ignatius is addressing them, that there still need to be certain corrections taking place, because he said that you have lost your first love. Okay, well, let's see exactly what is it that he means by that. Okay, so Ignatius is going to addressing these three important things of government, truth, and spirit. Okay, those that abandon the government of God also deny the bread of God. Okay, and those that deny the government of God also eat of the common bread. Okay, you lose your first love. That's right. Ignatius to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Okay. Ignatius also called Theophorus to the churches at Ephesus in Asia. Okay. And of course, he's talking to those who left their first love, but were corrected by the writings of the Apostle John. Okay, in the book of Revelation, they took that correction. Okay, of course, it was at this place too where the doctrine of Nicolaitans also was starting to take root there, which has to do with observing certain Jewish laws. Okay, which of course becomes Jewish fables. Okay, which is that Ephesus in Asia most deservedly happy, being blessed through the greatness and fullness of God. Of course, the fullness of God is government, truth, and spirit. All those things He's provided for our faith. Okay, by which He's governing our destiny and parenting and nurturing us and chastening us. They do these things. Okay, we can receive correction through government. Okay. So he says, God the Father and predestinated before the world began. Okay, this was in the bosom of the Father. Okay, and what was inscribed in the bosom of the Father, we match it, that expectation perfectly because of Jesus Christ. Okay, those that follow the record matched his expectation perfectly. That it should be always unto enduring and unchangeable glory. Okay, and he goes on, being united and chosen. Okay, which means now we're being joined to the light through Jesus Christ by the record he's provided for us. Now we have a priesthood in order to express our love towards him. Okay, through his true passion, okay, the covenant which he provided for us, this is the true pattern. Okay, this is the original pattern. Okay, this is the original pattern he's provided for us. Okay, this the death was designed by God to fulfill this pattern. Okay, through his true passion, according to the will of Father, by which his power works with his passion. Okay, which has to do with the death on the cross, the record which Jesus Christ set for us, and Jesus Christ our God, because He's governing our destiny through these things. All happiness by Jesus Christ. Okay, and His undefiled grace. Oh, that's all in verse 1 right there. Okay, so back up to verse, as we're saying in verse 1 here. Okay, those who left their first love, as in Revelation 2, chapter 2, verse 4. Now they have recovered. Okay, those who left their first love now have recovered. Okay, from the air by John's letter. Okay, now the apostle Ignatius is confirming that it's concerning being joined to government, truth, and spirit, okay, which is also pure charity. Okay, pure charity is seen, okay, by their willful obedience to these things. Okay, so God bestows His treasure abundantly to enrich our faith. As he's talking about here, this is the fullness in which He predestinated us for. To enrich our faith, this was determined for the world, so to prepare us to return to Him and partake of the eternal light of our inheritance. Now He set a pattern for our faith. All right, in His priesthood, being united and chosen, right, set a pattern for our faith in His priesthood, so we can fulfill His good pleasure. Okay, so now I saw about the undefiled grace there. You might want to highlight the N-word, undefiled grace. Okay, He sustains your joy by your faith in Him, so this keeps your grace pure. Okay, so you're not using the grace of God to lasciviousness. Okay, but you're reciprocating back to Him as it was issued to you, okay, through the proper pattern of government, truth, and spirit. And again, verse 2, I have heard of your name, much beloved in God, okay, those who are dear to God, following that which is sanctified by Him, which He sanctified by His blood, okay, which you have verily justly, okay, attained by habit. Okay, by a habit of righteousness. I like that, by a habit of righteousness. Okay, so God reveals to me your faith. Now he says a habit of righteousness. God reveals to me your faith, which is maintained by the grace of God and your practice of righteousness. Okay, that's what he says, the practice or habit of righteousness. Okay, so developing good habits, okay, takes focus and planning. Okay, and as concerning your prayer time, your study time, reflection time, okay, you have very justly attained by a habit of righteousness, according to the faith, which has to do with the word of the faith here, again, has to do with that doctrine which you have received, by the apostles and love by which also you were maintaining, sealing your salvation, and reciprocating back to God, sealing your salvation. All right, according to the faith and love which is in Jesus Christ our Savior. So through these things he's continually salvaging us. Okay, through these things he's salvaging us. The word salvage is what you do with something that is maybe unusable in a sense. Okay, like salvaging an old ship. Okay, you have to dry dock it. Okay, you have to sand it and take the barnacles off of it, and you sand it down, you know, repainting it and remodeling it. Okay, doing all the work in order to maintain it for it to be seaworthy. Okay, well, salvation is the same thing. The Lord is doing this to us. Okay, we were as old ships. Okay, and the Lord had to dry dock us. Okay, he had to remove us out of an environment that was not favorable for us. Okay, and removing us out of that environment, by good habit, he continually worked within us. Okay, sanding, removing the barnacles, welding, whatever needs to be done to make us seaworthy. Okay, this he does according to faith and charity. Okay, verse 3. Now that being followers of God and stirring up yourselves, I like that word stirring up. Okay, the word stirring up, which means this is a responsibility on your part. Okay, so that as stirring up is certainly not allowing to fall into decay. Okay, stirring up yourselves by the blood of Christ, by that covenant that is united. Remember, this is what he says up here in verse 1, through his true passion. So you could draw a line from the word blood there in verse 3 after the words is true. Through his true passion in verse 1. It's right near the bottom of verse 1 there. Well, about a third of the way through. Two-thirds of the way through. And stirring up yourselves by the blood of Christ, you have perfectly accomplished the work that was connatural unto you. That's a very interesting word. But I believe that was a word of knowledge he received. Okay, and Ignatius put that within the text here of his letter. Okay, this word of knowledge. Okay, in order to show them is concerning this divine seed. Okay, which means birthing a divine seed while in the flesh. Okay, there's something being born within you while you're in the flesh. Okay, as Jesus Christ. Okay, connatural unto you. So God joins you to Himself. Okay, by this covenant to make you perfect in faith while you're in the flesh. Okay, so I believe that was a word of knowledge that he received, and he put that in his letter. Okay, verse 4. For hearing that I came bound from Syria for the common name and hope, trusting through your prayers, to fight with beasts at Ephesus, the challenges that await him from the philosophers which he's going to be engaging. Okay, mostly at Rome, so that by suffering I may become indeed the disciple of him, the disciple of Christ. Okay, so we see grace and suffering there, don't we? Okay, and we also are his disciple for the suffering that we endure. Okay, we're enduring suffering for his name's sake. Okay, outside the covenant, it's suffering unto death, but inside the covenant, it's suffering unto life. Will gain himself to God, remember, as that pattern, will gain himself to God in offering a sacrifice for us. Okay, you hasten to see me, as Ignatius says here. I receive, therefore, in the name of God, that means that which is sanctified and authorized by him, your faith. Okay, and your faith, and also your bishop. And he's going to be talking about his bishop here, the bishop there, which was from Ephesus. Okay, and in fact, this is what he says here in the beginning of the chapter. Right, commends him for sending Onesimus and other members of the church to him. Okay, exhorts them to unity, of course, and by due subjection to their bishop. Okay, Onesimus. Okay, therefore, in the name of God, your whole multitude in Onesimus. I mean, I can see the design of Christ's craftsmanship in you, being expressed through Onesimus. Okay, he represents you. Okay, because he carries that pattern, the pattern of your faith in his soul, as you do his. Okay, verse 5. Who by inexpressible love is ours, but according to the flesh he's your bishop, whom I beseech you by Jesus Christ, as a position of government, to love, and that you would all strive to be like him in faith, and blessed be God, who is, and blessed be God, who has granted unto you, who are worthy, who are so worthy of him, to enjoy such an excellent bishop, because he feeds you with the pure truth. And this is what Ignatius is acknowledging. Okay, he's acknowledging that, that those things which they have received through Onesimus are accurate. Okay, is accurate in truth. Okay, being quintessential. Okay, free from Adam's aspirations. Okay, verse 6. What concerns my fellow servant Burrus and your most blessed deacon? Okay, and things pertaining to God. Now, of course, now we see a bishop and a deacon right here, and we can read about bishops and deacons too in the letter to the Galatians. Okay, it's also the you see about bishops and deacons also in Titus and Timothy. Okay, now bishops and deacons are positions which elders, which competent elders can enter into. Okay, competent elders can enter into that of a bishop. Okay, and also that of a deacon. Okay, but these are positions that are voluntary. Okay, you can volunteer for them. Okay, but not anybody can just can volunteer for them. It has to be people that are competent. Okay, elders that have endured the growth over a long period of time. Okay, but things pertain to God. Okay, I entreat you that he may tarry longer, because he wants his fellowship there, both for yours and your bishop's honor. Okay, that we continue to share the grace of God. And then, of course, he's going to bring this report back to you. And also Crocus, verse 7, also worthy before God and you, whom I have received, as a pattern of your love. Okay, he has in all things refreshed me, as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ shall also refresh him, together with Onesimus and Burrus and Euclus and Fronto, in whom I have, as to your charity, seen all of you. In this fellowship, I can see that you are strong in the grace of God. And may I always have joy of you, see, if I shall be worthy of it. Okay, verse 8. It is therefore fitting, I mean, this is our lot in life. Okay, it is therefore fitting that you should by all means glorify Jesus Christ, who has glorified you. Okay, and of course, we glorify him as we abide in him. Okay, and he glorifies his work within us. Okay, so that fruit that he bursts within us. Okay, so you glorify him by using the tools, and he glorifies you by the fruit he bursts within you. Okay, in this also we receive back to the Father. Okay, that by uniform obedience, okay, that which all the saints are undergoing and all the saints are carrying, by uniform obedience you may be perfectly joined together. Okay, this is a unity of doctrine and practice, unity of doctrine and function. Okay, by uniform obedience, you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment, same thing the Apostle Paul said. And you notice that they still had Paul's letters. Okay, why wasn't one letter enough? Because the letter which Ignatius was writing was also addressing certain issues, okay, which only a living apostle could address. Okay, so you can see how today, how the false religious system has numerous issues. I mean, they're so numerous. There's so many of them. I mean, it would take years in order to try to untie them all. So Lord, what the Lord is doing is he's just saying, come out from there. Okay? Come out from there. There's too many layers of pain on it. You know? Okay, and so, yeah, right, the Lord is beginning anew. Okay, but he has selected this time, see, for the purpose of preparing saints for the rapture. Okay, preparing saints for rapture. It would take hundreds of years in order to address every little issue, you know, every little doctrinal deviation, okay, every denomination, you know, whatever they hold to for, you know, for their life support system there. You know, they're not going to let it go. So the Lord's just going to bind them together. And he says, well, okay, if you're not going to work with the grace of God, then he's just going to bind them together. To burn them. All right? But now we're talking about something 2,000 years ago at this point. So here the Apostle Ignatius is addressing certain issues right here. And he's able to do it because they're still in the government of God. Okay, but we're 2,000 removed from this, okay, which makes it an impossibility. Okay, to address every little nuance of their doctrines. Okay, you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment, and all speak the same things. This is what we call language retooling, okay, for second, eighth week. Okay, you have to start with the ABCs again, okay, in order to even understand the epistles. You have to understand the language of the Bible and its proper definition. Okay, and of course, this has been lost, okay, for 2,000 years. It's been lost. The language has changed, okay, through the interpreters, the translators. Okay, they just translated it. They didn't expound it. They just translated it word for word, you know, as close as they could. Okay, but it's the Spirit that brings a sense of it. Okay, and that has been lost, but now it's being restored at this time. Okay, so that we also can do the same thing which Ignatius says to the Ephesians, that we all speak the same thing, be the same mind, being joined the same judgment. Okay, verse 9, and that being subject to your bishop, okay, and the presbytery, which is the board of elders, the elders. Okay, the bishop is one that's appointed, that he is an elder, okay, but he is the one that's, put in a position in order to disseminate the knowledge. Okay, and it's the bishop and your presbytery, you may be holy and thoroughly sanctified. Now that's interesting, he would even use that language right there. He says, holy and thoroughly sanctified. Outside of government, you're not sanctified. Okay? Your circumcision is not valid outside of the government of God. Okay? Because the government of God is the place of your refuge. Okay? And a place where you can be joined to Christ. Okay? As the Apostle Paul brings out in the book of Acts. Okay? That we, and also in Corinthians, he talks about that we would be for salvation to the Gentiles. Now, Paul wasn't saying that he's dying on the cross for them. Jesus died on the cross for them. Okay, the Apostle Paul was in that position concerning sanctifying their faith, giving them the truth and overseeing their growth, okay, which the Spirit was sanctifying. Okay, so here the Apostle Ignatius continues that same thing, okay, which the Apostle Paul wrote. And be holy and thoroughly sanctified. Paul also said the same thing to Thessalonians, that you may be sanctified in spirit, soul, and body. Okay, so what happens if you're just sanctified in spirit, not soul and body? Well, then you're not wholly sanctified. Okay, Jasper says that you may be holy and thoroughly sanctified. Okay, which is addressing the issue of your participation in the assembly, okay, and also your personal Christian walk. Okay, all these things are included in your sanctification. Okay, as concerning you, God separating you from the world to Himself, God has set conditions for this. Okay, and if you don't meet those conditions, okay, then you can't be holy and thoroughly sanctified. Okay, your circumcision is not valid. In other words, the Spirit will not work regeneration within you, and you'll fall short of the glory of God. Okay. Of course, this is the pattern which God has provided through all covenants. Okay, through all the covenants that He has given, He's always selected an individual who's sanctified that was steward the grace of God, through which He passed on traditions from one steward to the next steward, as Moses did to Joshua, okay, and Joshua to the judges. Okay, it continued to pass on, okay, these traditions to sanctify the faith of the people. Okay, and all the days of the judges, there was peace in the land. Okay, when the judge died, then of course the government was removed. Okay, God was not being identified. Okay, so therefore war, famine, and pestilence crept into the land again. Okay, until God sent another judgment and raised up their liver. Okay, that is the true biblical pattern. The false religious system has abominated that pattern. Okay, through the hands of false shepherds. Okay, who oppressed the people through the shepherding movement. Okay, and who stole from the sheep and oppressed the sheep and misdirected the sheep. So the sheep are now gun shy as concerning the stewarding of the grace of God. They are gun shy now. Okay. So they're so shy about it that they would prefer to remain outside in the wet, and in the snow, and come into the warmth of the house, okay? Because they're unsure, you know, as concerning the consistency. They're unsure of the situation. Okay, the wandering sheep out there. And this is where we are better off without the shepherd. That's what they're thinking. Okay, then with the shepherd. So they despise government. And, of course, the Apostle Peter And Jude both addressed that, as also Ignatius is addressing that. You can't despise government just because you were burnt the first time, by a false shepherd. Those who were in pursuit of the aspiration, those which were following their own visions, they which were building mansions for themselves, like watching Robert Tilton. Everything that he does is an abomination to God because he's outside of government. There's no foundation of truth. He's working with a different spirit. He's making promises. He's exploiting the people. He's promoting Jewish fables. As concerning Deuteronomy 28, the blessings of Abraham. He's created fables. And of course, it's through these fables that he's ruined the faith of the people. No wonder why the people, are so gun shy, about government. But Peter says that they will be those that despise government. And those that despise government, he also brings out as concerning those that despise are also those that are unclean. He calls them filthy dreamers. Those that are unclean are pursuit of the imagination, defiling the flesh. There's no regeneration taking place as offering a polluted sacrifice on the altar. Their religious labors, are abomination to God. And they're offering contaminating the sacrifices on the altar. Being outside of government and working with the truth, and they're sanctified by the Spirit. Now verse 10. These things are prescribed to you, as Ignatius says here, not as if I were somebody extraordinary. Now, he wasn't saying this as being independent of responsibility. He says, I'm responsible to this as much as you are, to the government of God. So he's not holding himself out as being exempt, as those in a false religious system do. As not holding themselves accountable. So they say accountability. They're trying to put accountability into people as they try to bring in Jimmy Swaggart and also Jimmy Swaggart. There's another person there, Jim Baker, into certain accountability, religious accountability, which of course was just a fraud. There is no accountability. All there was is more or less a hand slap, and they just continue to do what they want to do. They're not identifying with government. They're not working with the Spirit. There's no foundation of truth. These are the unrighteous shepherds. Ungodly ministers. Using demonic theology in order to try to bring people to Christ. They're not bringing people to Christ. They're bringing people into a different system, but not that which God sanctifies. They're bringing them to a tabernacle, all right, but when you open the doors, they say, it's the house of Baal. And it's the house of Baal, which functioned very similar to that which is also the house of the Temple of Solomon. It was very similar in practice. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, initiated and supported that kind of hearsay. He supported that because he saw that he was losing membership and that he didn't want the hearts of the people to be persuaded by the truth. Most of them saw the Levites going to Jerusalem at the set feast, that the people were going there to offer sacrifices in the Temple of Solomon. So there was rivalry. Again, the false religious system, but God was behind that. And of course, as you read the scriptures, you'll see that. That the conflict that arose from this, the Lord says, you shall not go against your brother. Because I, the Lord, did this. I brought the divisions. I separated the 10 tribes from one. I did that. So the people, those which were zealous to try to bring the unity of the tribes, which many people are trying to do today in the church, they're trying to use their doctrines to try to bring unity in the church, like I was watching Benny Hinn. And also James Robinson is trying to do the same thing. They're trying to bring unity through fables. They're trying to find common ground. They're trying to bring in unity to the tribes. Which division God is putting there now? God has put division there to separate the holy from the unholy, and the common from the holy. And unclean from the clean. God is the one that's putting the division there, not Satan. Satan is trying to bring ruin through compromise, through fables. As he did also in the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam. It was God that put the difference there. So God is doing the same thing today. Okay, and here, of course, and this is the early church, and Ignatius is talking about us concerning unity, which is under the government of God. Okay, now if people read these scriptures inside the false religious system, okay, they will look at these things as being unattainable. And they're right. It is unattainable as concerning the seducing spirit, but it is attainable by government, truth, and spirit. Okay, for though I am bound for his name, I am not yet perfect in Christ Jesus. Okay, as removed from this frailty, I'm still in his frail body. And same thing the Apostle Paul said, okay, in Philippians 3. Not as though I had already attained and were perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Same thing Ignatius is saying, which is reflecting on Paul's letter. But now I begin to learn, and I speak to you as fellow disciples together with me. We're all students of grace and truth. Verse 11. For I ought to have been stirred up by you in faith. Okay, that is by now, as concerning in faith. And also admonition, okay, and patience and long suffering, but for as much as charity suffers not to be silent towards you, I have taken upon me as an apostle to exhort you that you would run together with me now, okay, not independently, but we're all running together as a team. Run together according to the will of God, which works by faith. Okay. This is possible. Okay, as it was, this is possible today as it was back then in the first century. Okay, but they were functioning under the government of God. Okay, the angel of the Lord was working with them. Okay, the angel of the Lord is working with us. Okay, so therefore this is attainable and it's going to continue to prosper. Okay, and it's continuing to grow. It's going to be a great revival. Okay, it always begins with one person. Okay, as a forest fire only begins with a small match. Okay, before you know it, it takes. One little match takes billions of dollars to put it out, okay, and many man hours. Okay, verse 12. For even Jesus Christ, our inseparable life, because this is what peace is, we're being joined to Him as inseparable life, is sent by the will of the Father, because that power, okay, is being carried out in us now because of the record Jesus set for us. Okay, as the bishops appointed unto the utmost bounds of the earth. Okay, the Spirit commissions our faith as it did Christ. Okay, unto the utmost bounds of the earth are by the will of Jesus Christ. It's by the power of the Lord. It's sustained by the power of the Lord. Okay, if it was out of aspiration, okay, or the imagination, it would have to continually be sustained by that flattery. Okay, by the three F's, flattery, fantasy, and finance. It has to be continually sustained by that system, which will only ruin and weary the soul. Okay, but you can see that it's the grace of God. Okay, as it continues to carry you daily, you know, day by day, grace upon grace. 13, wherefore it become you to run together, see, according to the will of your bishop, as also you do. See, that is the power of his grace, is seen in the unity of this government. The power of grace is seen in the unity of this government. Okay, verse 14. Okay, for your famous presbytery, that means the appointed elders, worthy of God, is fitted as exactly to the bishop as the strings are to the harp. Okay, now that shows unity of purpose, doesn't it? Which reflects his work as an orchestra to the maestro. Is an orchestra to the maestro. Okay, everyone is in tune and following. Everybody's on the same page. Okay, so here this is Ignatius is commending them for that because the bishop is there, sharing these things with Ignatius. Okay, all right, verse 15. Therefore, in your concord, that means when you come together in your assemblies, okay, and agreeing charity, by which we're all united by that love, one love, Jesus Christ, charity, Jesus Christ is sung. Okay, and every single person among you, see, makes up the chorus. Okay, because a refuge is made by faith for everybody. Okay, a refuge is made for faith by everybody. All of us are joined together. Verse 16. That so being all consonant, which means unchanging, okay, in love and taking up the song of God, see, you may, in a perfect unity, with one voice, sing to the Father by Jesus Christ. Okay? Again, we're talking about the witness and record coming together. We're now all of us are birthing babies at the same time. Let's put it that way. Okay, all of us birthing babies at the same time. The fruit of God is continually maturing in us. Okay, at a unified rate. Okay, a unified rate. To the end that he may both hear you and perceive by your works that you are indeed the members of his Son. Okay, and of course, an answer your request with joy. And we can see that taking place. Okay, we can see that taking place in our own lives. Okay, how the Spirit of the Lord is continually manifesting himself. In verse 17, wherefore it is profitable for you to live in an unblameable unity, that so you may always have fellowship with God. Okay, and of course the unblameable there, is profitable, verse 17, wherefore it's profitable means as to benefit the saints, okay, for you to live in an unblameable unity, which is because this unblameable unity frees you from the guile of your own aspirations. Unblameable unity. Okay, and that so you may also have fellowship with God. That's learning of the mystery of Christ increases the value of his fruit within you. Okay, so learning of the mystery of Christ increases the value of his fruit within you. Wow, we're already to chapter 2 here, aren't we? Okay, Ignatius chapter 2. We'll continue on here. Okay, for if I in this, a little time have had such a familiarity with your bishop, of course this is not relationship but fellowship, I mean not a carnal but spiritual acquaintance with him, how much more must I think you happy, see who are so joined to him, as joined to him, government, as to the church is to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, might want to underline some of those things there, as Jesus Christ is to the Father. So you see, you can see the structure right here. Okay, you're joined to your bishop as to Jesus Christ. Okay, and joined to him as the church is to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Father. So you might want to highlight those things right there. See, that shows how you work with government. All right, then he goes on here. That so all things may agree in the same unity. Okay, so we can see the holy benefit of his refuge, okay, in that form of government. Okay, we can see the holy benefit of his refuge in that form of government. So let no man deceive himself. If any man be not within the altar, that means if you're not working with the government of God and not joining him, okay, then of course he is deprived of the bread of God, which means your bread is the common. Your bread has fallen to in the form of common. It's not holy. See, the Spirit lives and breathes in us. As we dine on the bread of God, okay. But if we're separated from the government of God, okay, then it falls into decay. It falls into the form of common. Okay. Now he's going on here is concerning the prayers. He'll be talking about this around quite a few verses here. Okay. For the prayers of one or two will be such force as we are told, okay, which as was taught to them by the apostle Paul and Clement and Barnabas. Ignatius is also passing on the information to the brethren here. For the prayers of one or two will be of such force, okay, as we are told. How much more powerful shall that of the bishop and the whole church be? Okay, because the Spirit lives and breathes in us, okay, through these things that makes us the bread of God. And the Lord rewards our submission, okay, with his joy. How much more powerful should that the bishop and the whole church be? Okay, in verse 3, he therefore that does not come together in the same place, but rather those that are isolated from the government of God. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Acts, he says, I know that when after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock. But he also talks about also certain ministers will seek to draw away disciples after themselves. They want to work independently of the government of God. They don't want to be responsible to the government. Okay, and of course by doing that they become vulnerable to Satan. Okay, and they began to create a Christianity of their own likeness. He therefore that does not come together in the same place with the bread of God, of course, is proud and has already condemned himself. Okay, because he's isolated himself from the altar. So those that isolate themselves from the altar and from the temple bread, eat the common bread of the dead. okay, has already condemned himself. For it is written, God resists the proud. See, let us take heed, therefore, that we do not set ourselves against the bishop, that we may be subject to God. We're showing our love for God through this avenue, okay, of submission. Okay, we're submitting. We submit ourselves one to another. Of course, Peter brings it out in 2 Peter chapter 5, or 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, where he brings up the same thing. It might be 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay, but Peter does bring it out. It's concerning that all of us be subject one to another, as to Christ Jesus. Okay, verse 4. Hey, we have only about 4 minutes to go here, so you might get your sacrifices prepared. For more, the more anyone sees this bishop silent, the more let him revere him. And I'll talk about that. For whomsoever the master of the house ascends to be over his household, we ought in like manner to receive him as we would do him that sent him. It is therefore evident that we ought to look upon the bishop even as we would upon the Lord himself. And indeed, Onesimus himself does greatly commend your good order in God, okay, that all live according to the truth and do no heresy, and that no heresy dwells among you. But neither do we hearken to anyone more than Jesus Christ speaking to you in truth. So you might want to underline the word silent there in verse 4 and draw life from the word silent to the word good order, okay, in verse 5. And also the word silent there in verse 4, up there the word prayers of one in verse 2. Okay? So what is Ignatius saying right here? Okay, those that labor as the Lord would have it need little reproving. Okay, so the bishop washes in prayer as a reproof comes from the Lord. Of course, we have seen the same thing. Numerous times you see the same thing, how reproof comes to the Lord. Okay? So don't cast aside the bishop's counsel, but accept it as Christ Jesus, which he is bringing out right here, those that fall into heresy. Okay. Indeed, Onesimus himself does greatly commend your good order in God. So those that are free of heresy, okay, need no reproof, okay, but being clean, serve God perfectly. Okay. So we are following the same pattern, the same spirit that worked through these apostles here, as Ignatius and Barnabas, the same spirit that's working present with us now and today. For some there are who carry about the name of Christ in deceitfulness. Okay, so here Ignatius is giving comparison again to those which are severed from government. Okay, as we can see also to the Church of Smyrna. Okay, and Revelation chapter two. Okay, and the Church of Smyrna to the point where those which were following the counsel, okay, of the apostles were imprisoned. Okay, and some of them were put to death, but God set the scenario to bring the cleansing. Okay, we can see the same thing took place too in the church of Pergamos. Okay, whereas Antipas was martyred because of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and also the doctrine of Balaam was present. The doctrine of Balaam, okay, is applied to those which they identify. They confirm government, but they don't conform to it. They confirm but not conform. Okay, that's the doctrine of Balaam. Okay, they confirm but not conform. And the doctrine of Nicolaitans, again, has to do with Jewish traditions. Okay, entwining Jewish traditions, okay, within the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, and because of those two things, okay, that were prevailing there at Pergamos at that time, okay, Antipas, who was a bishop, okay, over the churches right there, withstood them. They withstood them, and he was called, okay, a cult. Okay, he was called a leader, you know, a false apostle. He was called a cult. Okay, and he was martyred. Okay, because of the presence. Okay, but the Lord would take vengeance concerning that. So here we can see, Ignatius is addressing the same scenarios. Okay, same thing's going to happen today. Okay, there's going to be those which are going to fall into apostasy. They will not be taken in rapture, of course. Okay, because there's going to be a falling away, but there can't become a falling away until there's a joining. Okay, the leaf can't fall from the tree unless it's first on it. Okay, in verse 6, for some there are who carry about the name of Christ in deceitfulness, okay, but do things unworthy of God, whom we must flee, as we do so many wild beasts. For they are raving dogs who bite secretly. I mean, their words are not heard, but are done in guile. They hide these things in guile. Okay, secretly. Against whom you have scarred yourselves, as men hardly to be cured, because the poison of the serpent is surging through their veins. Okay, and it's making them, sullying their faith. Okay, and putting them into a coma, like a comatose, spiritual comatose. Okay, unresponsive. They're unresponsive to grace and truth. They're just going to go on and do what they want to do. Well, it's now 8:30, now 8:31. Hey, let's get ready to offer some sacrifices here. And we'll pick up here in Ignatius chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, on Saturday,